You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday already, how about that? Is there any hope for the planet? Honestly, think about it. What a shit show. Yeah, exactly. What a shit show. So let me give you some thoughts. Grant Newsham's going to join us here in about 56 minutes or so. Newsham will be here. We'll be talking about the Indo-Pacific, as it's now called. Yeah, the Pacific got renamed. The Indo-Pacific. Why would we rename it? Because the Chinese hate the Indians. And they're getting ready to fight. They're acting like they're not. But China has no use for India. Or India has no use for China. India about as big as China. So, yeah. The Indo-Pacific. Yeah. PACOM. Been known for PACOM as the Pacific Command forever. Not anymore. Indo-PACOM. Ding. That's a poke right in the snout of the Chinese. Also, the United States Navy announcing China has been uninvited to the biggest exercise in the Pacific, known as RIMPAC. Vietnam is now being included, as is Israel. That ain't good. So, anyway, good morning to you. I haven't said, you know, I guess the world is awash in this controversy relative to Roseanne Barr, and I haven't discussed it. First of all, I've never seen the show, so I can't comment about the show. She's been doing stupid shit forever. Okay, do you remember the national anthem thing? When she goofed on the national anthem in San Diego? Yeah. You know, if anybody who remembers that, if you don't remember it, Google that. Roseanne National Anthem. And she's a clown. She's been that kid from your high school forever. And she's made hundreds of million dollars doing it. So I guess it's all right, except she's on Ambien. Yeah, congratulations to her on that deal. So she's obviously a really, really happy human being. So anyway, she starts this this storm, right, by tweeting something that's clearly racist and disgusting, right? I don't think anybody, there's no doubt about that. But what happens after that is I think illustrative of the fact that there's no hope for our culture. Okay. That whole show that she was a part of, right? It there's this vein that surprises the entertainment business, okay? What? How could that show be so popular? What, people looking as a comedy and as stupid? No, she speaks for a lot of people in that program. What? Yeah, imagine the disconnect in the major media metropolises around the country, namely New York, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. Imagine the disconnect. But it is that way when, for instance, when faith-based programming does off-the-hook numbers. They're like, what? What happened there? Who saw that coming? Those rubes still believe in that and are interested in that? What? Head scratcher, right? And so to me, it highlights the disconnect in our culture between the people that attempt to run the culture they run our media, they contribute to who we elect, right? They are the aristocracy of the nation. And then there's, and they inhabit our big cities. And then there's other people around the country. Now, let me, and I'm going to give you a little contrast to that, okay? The closest thing I have to a brother is my cousin Tom, okay? Tom and I grew up together. And Tom's youngest son is a pretty good baseball player. That's where I went to see play on Saturday, okay? So I go to see Joe play on Saturday up in Fresno, playing shortstop for Sacramento City College in the state championship for junior college baseball, which for baseball, nationally, pretty high-end baseball. So anyway, Joe then flies out on, they finish Monday. He flies out at, I don't know, 6 o'clock on Tuesday to fly up to Minnesota to play in a collegiate wood bat league for the summer. So Tom and his wife Julie, they tag along. And so they don't tag along, it's their kid, right? So I don't know that you hang on, you tag along. So he goes up there, you know, for vacation. So he says, "You think I'll like it?" I said, "You'll love it, man. It's our people. Small town America, it's the best." Right? And so Tom's at the ball game on Tuesday night. So they fly up there, I mean, they leave at 6, so it's probably about, I think, to Minneapolis, it's about a three-hour flight. So, nonstop, I would think. So they fly into Minneapolis. They get there at 2 hours. So they get there before noon, right? Get the rental car, and then they head out to, what's the name of the city? I forgot the name of the city. Hold on, it'll come to me in a second. Because he mispronounces it. Anyway, it's in South Central Minnesota. So, small town, few thousand people. So, he sends me a picture, he sends me a video of, they have this ceremony at the game, and here's this guy in a red polo shirt with a Marine Corps Eagle Globe and Anchor on it, and he's raising the Marine Corps flag, the Marine Corps colors, during the baseball game as everybody stands. Right? Like, where do you see that? Right? You don't see it on the coast, I can tell you that. You know? You do see it in the heartland. Right? And so then he sends me this video that he took. So this is my cousin Tom talking to this former Marine. He asked him if he's heard of All Marine Radio. So this is my cousin Tom.
Great, we're here in Wilmer, Minnesota for the opening night of the Stingers. Who are we talking to here?
Sergeant Dave Radovar.
What outfit were you with?
10th Squadron 18, 1st Marine Air Wing.
What years?
I was with them 76, 77.
76, 77?
With them, yeah.
Great. All right. All right, I'm going to send this to Mike McNamara on allmarineradio.com.
Okay.
What do you got to say?
Semper Fi, Mac.
All right. Thank you.
My cousin, if I can be a city councilman in the Midwest, my cousin Tom, he'll be the governor of a state back there in 2 weeks. Yeah, Tom's the nicest guy in the world. But that's the Midwest, right? What does that guy have with the people that run these networks with Rosa? Nothing. He has nothing in common with them. He doesn't live his life the same way. He doesn't value the same stuff. And that is the disconnect in our country. Okay? The disconnect in our country isn't racial. For God's sakes, we elected a black guy, right? Not only once, but twice. Okay? If you look at the spectrum and the sexuality of people that serve and get elected, come on. Right? Now, again, that's not to say that our media outlets, when they find a moron, don't stick them front and center on TV, because that's all clickbait, and that's what drives this. So my point is that you watch this whole Roseanne Barr thing, and it simply highlights how divided big city wealthy America is. Because let me just tell you, the left behind people in the big cities, right? They're just there working. Okay, they're not part of it. They're supporting the richy riches that drive the train and live in the nice neighborhoods. Okay, everybody else is in a support mode. The disconnect is that guy Dave Lattimore, Comm Squadron whatever, right in the Marine Corps in Wilmer, Minnesota, right at opening night of the Wilmer whatever they are baseball team. Right? He's raising the Marine Corps colors there. He doesn't have anything in common with the crap that we see on TV. That disconnect, right, illustrated by the completely different things that pass for news on essentially two genres of television. You have conservative television with Fox, and then you have liberal television with MSNBC and CNN. Right? And if you watch both of them and you knew anything about news, you would come to say, are they covering the same events? And then you would say, this isn't news though. This is an editorial perspective with people piling stories up that enhance their editorial perspective. This isn't news. And the response to that would be, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they just cater to our divided country. This is the same sick system that gives us Donald Trump and Hillary Rodham Clinton as choices in the last presidential election. Are you kidding me? That's the best that this country has to offer? That's a straight up joke. That is a straight up joke. And then the hypocrisy, right? So, and it's really interesting when these kind of things happen, because I can't remember, what's the woman's name? She's a black woman. She was tweeting homophobic stuff She's blogging homophobic stuff. And they dug it up, and they, you know, stuff that if you were a white person, male or female, and said, you'd get your ass fired. She's not fired. Okay. Roseanne, she says something racist, boom. right? She's gone. Okay. And, but this, she's gone on, I'll get her name in a second, but she says, I think that was hacked. Like, what? Yeah. And who was it? Was it CNN or NBC? Whoever this woman works for, they actually brought her on to talk about this. Can you believe this? Like, come on. You just didn't do that, did you? And so it's, you know, and you have all these instances, right? Joy Behar calling Christianity a mental illness. What? Right? Kathy Griffin still, the shit that she's done and said, she's still out there? But if you're a black woman, you can claim that, you can claim this bullshit that somebody, and it's just this double standard. Right? Now again, there's nothing that you can say that defends Roseanne Barr, but apply the standard equally across the board. Right? And if it is, then it doesn't matter what color you are, what creed you are. You go there, you should lose your job too. So it's just this divide in the country. And at the top, what is the divide about? It's not about philosophy. It's about money. It's about clicks. And that's what our society has devolved to, clicks. What drives our country? Clicks. What do clicks translate to? Revenue. Okay. What does revenue translate into? Success. So it's about clicks. Clicks. Is it about the truth? No. Who should, when I think of people that ought to be nominated to be the president of the United States, one of them reared his head yesterday, but he's quitting, and that's Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy came out and said something very un-Republican yesterday, and that is the FBI should have had an informant in the Trump campaign. Okay, so you hear that, and you're like, what? He's a Republican. He's not supposed to say that. And then you drop the pen. That's what I just said. I just dropped the pen. Did somebody just tell the truth, for God's sake? Holy shit. You know? Hello? Is this thing on, right? And so you watch this thing constantly play out in our country. It's not about the truth. It's only about clicks and money. And it's infected the presidency. So we should have a guy like Trey Gowdy running for president. I dare say we should have a guy like Jim Mattis running for president, who believes in the truth, who has integrity. It shouldn't be name recognition, ability to raise money. You know? Because, and again, I'll take Barack Obama as an example. A horrible president. A horrible, horrible president. A weak president and did more to set this country back, and in my opinion, the world back, internationally, than I can't even tell you who. Then maybe George Bush. maybe I can't tell you too. Then that idiot, George Bush. So you see, and it's all, okay, just take your pen at work and just make a dollar sign. That's what it's about, right? It's about the dollar sign, the media with its own agenda. And the problem is they're not after the truth. They don't have reporters. They have, hold it. They have correspondents now. Oh, a correspondent isn't held to the same editorial standard as a reporter. Reporter, technical definition, reports things, no opinion. Well, that's not what we have, right? We have reporters who report from the White House, then they give their analysis of it, right? It's cheaper. Translates to profit. There you go. Okay? And that's what drives the whole thing. So So what our national theater, our national political theater, is driven by money. Okay? The presidency got sold for money. Right? The two parties, name recognition, ability to raise money. That's the way it is. Candidates of substance, hey, come on, don't play that game with me. What are we, choir boys? Are we children here? So the Roseanne thing to me just highlights the divide as it exists on a number of different levels. One, it is just as fundamental as night and day. People that live in smaller communities, that provide for themselves, that are responsible for themselves, that don't look for the government to solve their problems, you know, make up probably more than half the country. You have people in big cities around the country who the first solution to everything seems to be a government solution. And I think the country's learning a tremendous lesson. What do you mean deregulation? What do you mean tax laws that are favorable to business? What do you mean that raises all boats? Isn't there a government program that's supposed to do this? Oh, you mean you're getting out of the way of capitalism and letting it operate? Whoa, what are you talking about? I've never heard such a thing. And there's a lot of people that have been on this planet that have never seen such a thing. But to me, that's the divide, and that there's the people that are responsible, that provide for themselves, look at universal, for instance, free college for everybody. Who pays for that? You know, if you, it's really interesting. If you look at how the baby boomers are retiring, this big financial conundrum, right? The big fat part of this thing going down the snake, those are the baby boomers. And they're going to stress Social Security. They're going to stress Medicare. Who's paying for that? Nobody's addressed that. What that would require planning and foresight and with a Congress that doesn't even pass a budget. So the people in quote unquote flyover country, they don't look to the government to provide a solution for them. All they want is, for instance, the farmers in Midwest, make it a level playing field. Don't tilt it towards Mexico. Don't allow it to be tilted towards Canada. Just make it level and we'll compete with anybody. We'll out-compete anybody in the world. So anyway, Roseanne, never seen the show. Have never thought much of her. Okay. And so is anybody surprised? No. But what she represents now is just another installment of this divide in our country. And then what we have at the top are the people that scream the loudest, are the most shrill, and we wonder why we can't get anything done. And so my conclusion is, how does that change? What changes that system? Only something catastrophically bad changes that system. So we're doomed. We're doomed, assuming that nothing catastrophically bad happens, right? We're doomed. So there you go. That little piece, that little nugget of joy today. I don't know what that woman's name is. Yeah, then she. It was hilarious. Oh yeah, it was hacked. Huh? Yeah, that blog was hacked. I never wrote that. Right. Somebody went and hacked something and inserted something like 12 years ago into your blog. How did they do that? And supposedly I read that the FBI was investigating. Why would the FBI get involved in that? Somebody, she's a high profile person? So it's it's a pathetic world that we live in, right? With all the different stuff that goes on, that Roseanne Barr is what she is. But all right, I want to play for you a little bit of audio here. about it's General Nicholson from Afghanistan. He did a VTC yesterday. That's a video teleconference with reporters at the Pentagon. And they asked him, why are we still in Afghanistan? The IG report came back and said, hey, this is not going so good. And he answered that question. So we'll play that, so you'll get to hear that in his own words. And then what else are we going to do? We're going to talk the Indo-Pacific. Yeah. We're going to talk to Grant Newsom this morning. So we'll do that. And then the Gunner's going to join us on Thursday. So we'll see what Mikey's been up to, the kind of trouble he's got in. So this makes it official. Good morning to you. Oops. Wrong song, wrong day. Dedicated, I don't have anybody dedicated to. So this is dedicated to the Marine in Wilmer, Minnesota. Raising the flag in his community. Spreading the gospel of the Marine Corps. Be tough. Work hard. Stand up. Take your face shots when it matters. All of that. God bless him.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, it is PTSD. It's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage. Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome. Can you imagine? Were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It's 7:34 on a Thursday. As we get going here. Short week. Why isn't the work week 4 days? 4 10-hour days? That's always seemed like right to me. Why wouldn't we do that? You're already working 10 hours anyway. Like, why not get credit for it?
Boom!
Currently cloudy and 75 in Quantico. Clouds in 81 at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mostly sunny, 82 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds in 60 in Big Timber, Montana. Sunny 71 in 29 Palms. Clouds in 60 at Pendleton. Raining, cloudy, and 80 degrees in Okinawa, Japan. 99 degrees late in the day in Marja, where it's heated up in a lot of different ways. Yeah, Marines have killed 70 Taliban leaders since the start of the month. 50 the other day. The other day, did you see that video? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, watch it. Maybe I'll play it and I'll narrate it for you. Yeah, I'll give you a little insight. But, yeah, you get caught by us, no bueno. Yeah, we're doing stuff like, if you're a target, we're shooting missiles at you to kill you. Yeah. And we're tracking you with a laser. Like, and it's tracking the laser. And we're following you, yourself, your person. Yeah. We're shooting missiles at you. And you can't, in no place, unless you run into a city with a lot of people, if you happen to be like these dudes were on the country, you're so screwed. Yeah. Let me just tell you, I mean, it's interesting reading this book written by an NVA soldier, how you had to fight Americans. You know, he talks about the horror of that. And if you got caught not close to them, okay, if the Americans had a little bit of distance between you and them, and I'm talking about a couple hundred meters, you had to get in amongst the Americans so they couldn't use their air power. Because if they did, you cannot imagine the horror that ensued in terms of the violence and the way people died. And he just, you know, he talks about, you know, that. Pretty amazing. And these guys and these Taliban dudes got a chance to experience it. Bad deal. Have your meetings in cities. Never go into the open area. Okay. Let alone in a large group. I'm not sure who organized that. Their ass is fired though. It's 62 degrees and cloudy at the home of All Marine Radio here in the, Newport Beach, Costa Mesa area of beautiful Southern California. On our way to clouds in 69 today, sunny in 73 tomorrow, and then sunny in 75 on Saturday. All right. I don't want to take a break. So we're gonna check out the news. Marine Corps news. I'm gonna play. Yeah, if you haven't seen that video, where is that? Let me 70. It's not too hard to find. All you have to do is do a search on 50 Taliban. You could even misspell it. Taliban, like I just did, and it comes up. 50 Taliban leaders killed in rocket strike. Oh, they weren't rockets. Well, it kind of was. Depends how you define rocket, okay? So, not that anybody's telling the truth in any of these press releases. What do you mean? You mean they're lying? No, not exactly lying. Lying is such an ugly word. Because it's certainly not that. It is protecting what happened. I think this is it. I'll do a little play by play on the video. Let's see. HIMARS, okay? Let me tell you what HIMARS is. HIMARS is, you know those things that you see, it's like on a truck, and it's like a huge rectangular pod, okay? And then it kind of goes up and it gets angled. That's what HIMARS looks like, okay? HIMARS shoots so high. We can shoot it so far, okay? In order to shoot far, it's got to go high. Hence the rocket, okay? We have to clear over Afghanistan, right? And you've heard F-18 man on it, right? So we're shooting HIMARS. And it's hard to shoot HIMARS because most of the targets that you're targeting are dynamic targets, which means they're moving. So if they're moving, you have to update the grid. You reset the clock, okay? Because when you're clearing this shot, okay, they're clearing that shot, and they're clearing that trajectory. So when you move it, you have to start again. So you can't use HIMARS against a moving target. Okay, that makes sense? You have to use an aviation asset. Yeah, drones, yes. And fixed-wing aircraft that can stay up high so nobody knows they're there. That's right. It's awesome. So they're orbiting high, high, high above. And then things that you'd love to hear, the call rifle means something just came off the wing. Something good's about to happen. So anyhow, so that's the package. Like I guarantee you, if they knew 50 leaders were up there, were there, they had a whole bunch of options available to them. Okay? And so the fact that they use HIMARS means they were in one location and they weren't moving. So they're inside a building for a meeting, and you can drop it. Like, which corner of the building are we dropping it on? I mean, that's how precise our munitions are. It's crazy how accurate our stuff is. So I'm going to do a little play-by-play. So this says, I found this on Task and Purpose. Yeah, you heard Adam Linehan yesterday. Same website. Okay, and it says, unclassified, M142 HIMARS strike on high-level Taliban command and control node. Command and control node, I don't know what that is. Normally, that's them talking on a cell phone in a car. So this meeting was a little bit more than, they don't have like a, this was their core level combat operations center. They don't have that. Okay, so here we go. So what you see is an area like all kinds of other areas that you see in Afghanistan. It is walled compounds. And there's in the shot, there's no activity. There's not a lot of cars in the shot. There's nothing that I would tell you looking optically that's suspicious. And then in the center, then in the center of the building, in the center of the shot, there's a building. And like I said, it's not like there's 40 cars parked outside. As you're looking at it, there's no activity. And then the building detonates. Then there's a second detonation. I assume, given the size of the second detonation, it is a second rocket, then a third rocket. Third rocket hits something that explodes because there's a little bit of a fireball. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a lot of, when you kill 70 in a month, when you kill 50 at a time, that's not something that you see every day. So, anyway. All right, after that, before we check other news, I want to play this little piece, all right? IG report out earlier in the last couple weeks has said that Afghanistan's not going as well as we would like it to, right? So many take that and they say, what are we doing there? And so General John Nicholson, who's the who runs Afghanistan, did a VTC from Afghanistan or from his headquarters. I don't know exactly where he was, but he's at his headquarters. And so these are reporters at the Pentagon here in the United States. He's on a screen, and he's talking to them. So here's what he had to say.
We'll go to Tara Kopp, Military Times.
Tara Kopp, she's a writer for Military Times. We've talked about her stories.
Thank you for doing this, General. As your command in Afghanistan nears a close, I wanted to see if you'd be a little more reflective with us and answer the question of, you know...
As opposed to the superficial way that you usually are with us. What did that mean, Tara? What the hell?
Why should the U.S. continue to send its sons and daughters to Afghanistan? Why should the U.S. military stay?
Yeah, thanks for the question. It's really important. And it's been a long war. But I would note that in that time, our country has not been attacked from Afghanistan. Remember that 21 designated terrorist organizations exist in this region. ISIS-K, for example, did not exist in this region until about 2014, 2015. And it primarily was created by members of other groups. So the fact when you have a large number of groups in close proximity with a significant population to recruit from means that there is a threat from this region to our homeland. So our choice is fairly simple. We either keep the pressure on them here or they bring the fight to our doorstep. And so the two principal groups that we're concerned about there are Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. Thanks to the great work by our counterterrorism forces, we have devastated Al-Qaeda, but they still exist. Islamic State has ambitions. Now, again, because of great work by our CT forces, we've been able to keep pressure on them, but it's too soon to take the pressure off. If we are able to achieve a reconciliation through the South Asia strategy, and again, as I've outlined tonight, we're taking positive steps in that direction, and we achieve a degree, an increased degree of stability here. Again, this is Afghanistan. There will always be violence. But if we achieve an increased degree of stability and a lowering of the violence to a level that the Afghans can manage, then it's going to be much easier to keep pressure on these terrorist groups, and that's in the benefit of our nation and all the nations of the coalition. And on that last point, I'd say, this is not just an American mission. There are 39 nations here. In fact, we've had two more that have recently offered to join, UAE and Qatar. And so these nations not only contribute troops, they contribute financially, and they bring the legitimacy of a 39-nation coalition to keep pressure on these terrorist groups. So preventing these terrorists from launching attacks out of this area, again, largest concentration of terrorist groups anywhere in the world, is the principal reason why we're here, and we have been successful in protecting our homeland from attacks emanating from this region ever since 9/11.
This is a real quick follow-up.
Tara.
It's been a 17-year conflict. Just from your experience on the ground there, what... what is the primary role then for the U.S., and do you see this as really just a really long-term presence to continue to keep that terrorism threat at bay from U.S. homeland?
That's actually a good follow-up. So there's a couple choices there. If you tell us, you know, we're here in part to prevent this place being used as a staging base for attacks around the world against American interests, we're here partly for that reason, then are you redefining what we're doing there? So good follow-up.
Well, we have a global counterterrorism mission, of course, that we do to protect our homeland. I think the key difference here in Afghanistan is we have a tremendous partner in the Afghan people. And you've heard the phrase buy with and through. Well, nowhere is that more apparent than here in Afghanistan. These Afghan counterterrorist forces are the best in the region. I mean, the Afghan Air Force, they flew their first sortie 2 years ago in an A-29. Today, they're dropping laser-guided bombs. We provided them UH-60 helicopters in September. They're flying their first combat missions now. So these people want to defend their own country. They view it as a matter of pride that they are the ones fighting and, if necessary, dying to protect their country. They are grateful for our presence. And no, I think that once we get to once we achieve the ends of the South Asia strategy, a reconciliation that lowers the violence to a level that they can manage, then our presence, that will be the time to reassess our presence.
Let me read you an email. Mac, I remember when ISIS took over Western Iraq and Eastern Syria, and I believe it was General Allen was appointed by President Obama. In the first 2 years of that, you heard similar consternation. I think, and you've done programming most recently with the audio from Brookings with General Turner, that the strategy of American support, increasing the capabilities of your partners, and allowing them to lay the wood to these people is a winning strategy. And I think it's winning for a couple reasons. One, fiscally, it's cheaper. Two, and most importantly, it's cheaper in American lives, which means we can stay. I think it's the smarter way to do business. If you look at the results in Syria, there was people that said, we can't ever do that. Well, Syria's an awful lot different, as is Iraq today, because of the efforts of this same strategy there. I know people don't want to hear it, but it will take some time. With the enhanced capabilities of the Iraqi Air Force, and I know they're just getting their feet on the ground, but we all know, those of us who serve there, that it is power that rules the roost. And what the United States is helping to create there is the most powerful tribe, and that is the Afghan army. Once they do become that, then there will be hell to pay for those who don't get out of their way. But I think it's very frustrating for most people because this has gone on so long. You mentioned President Obama. He set us back there tremendously. And I do agree with you. History will judge him harshly. Have a great day. You don't know a lot. You only know what, you know, people say for public consumption, which is difficult. And you have the IG's report. I, when people ask me about, you know, my thoughts, to me, it's bad business to go someplace, destabilize it, and then just leave it. You know, and I hate that notion. To me, the mistakes were, and if you've heard this program before, you've heard this. The mistakes were expanding the ground war to begin with. And that's not my thought. That's General Zinni. Right? And what he said was, look, you go there, you thump the Taliban, you go there with overwhelming force, you surround and kill or capture Osama bin Laden, and then you leave. You don't want Afghanistan. But that's not what we did as a nation. As a nation, we expanded, we became their partner, right? And so to me, you know, do you just walk away? Do what we did in Vietnam? Say, fuck it and walk away, we're out? We're tired? I guess you could. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think finding a way, and this is just my opinion, when you have guys like Secretary Mattis and Chairman Dunford, those are the smartest guys in the room. If they're telling you that this is a strategy we ought to pursue, then I would follow those guys and I would believe those guys. Because again, I'll tell you this. The second that Joe Dunford or Jim Mattis doesn't think that's the right thing to do, they'll resign. Because they are the kind of people, if you put a gun to their head and say, you need to stand out there and you need to tell this lie, they'll say, pull the trigger. I won't do it. Dunford's most recent trip and most recent comments were that he was trying to conceal his optimism based on what he had seen. Okay, now that guy has been fighting in that part of the world since 2003, with a break to become Commandant of the Marine Corps. Okay? So, with the exception of that little trip as Commandant of the Marine Corps, he's been engaged in that part of the world. So, I would, you know, when in doubt, I believe Joe Dunford. I believe Jim Mattis. Few headlines before we bring Grant Newsham on. Militants wore U.S. military uniforms in the latest Kabul attack. Islamic State militants, including two suicide bombers dressed in what appears to be U.S. military uniforms, riding in two armored vehicles, launched a surprise attack on the Interior Ministry in Kabul on Wednesday, but Afghan forces managed to repel the assault, leaving all the attackers dead. Yeah, this is a good news story. It was a rare victory for Afghan security forces who have struggled to secure the capital in recent months amid relentless attacks by the Taliban and ISIS affiliates in Afghanistan. According to the ministry spokesman, Najib Dinesh, one policeman was killed, five were wounded in the assault. The attack began around noon when a group of 10 militants tried to storm the ministry compound in Kabul. Two of the attackers detonated their explosives, allowing eight others to pass through an outer gate at the ministry, where they then traded fire with security forces before they were eventually killed. The Nesh said the attackers were dressed in military uniforms, apparently seeking to confuse Afghan security forces guarding the ministry. So, good news story. Early bird top five stories. Number one, is it worth it to merge commissaries and exchanges? DOD is getting serious about finding out. Why would you have a separate system? I don't understand it. Commissaries tend to be the food stores. Exchanges are the goods and services. Why is it two separate systems? That makes absolutely not one bit of sense to me, and it never has. I would also tell you that bases that are located near urban centers probably should shut down their commissaries, because most people shop off base. What they should go to is a military version of 7-Eleven, right? You need milk, you need eggs, you need some bread, you need donuts, you know, a small store that can provide emergencies, toilet paper, paper towels, charcoal, that stuff. Otherwise, cancel the program. Now, if you're not near a major urban center, then to me, if you're going to send people out there, you need to provide for them. Probably the biggest story is a is the Indo-PACOM announcement. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis announced Wednesday the U.S. Pacific Command would now be called U.S. Indo-Pacific Command in the latest move to counter Chinese economic and military pressure in the region. Mattis said he directed the name change in recognition that all nations, large and small, are essential to the region in order to sustain stability in ocean areas critical to global peace. Mattis made the remarks at the change of command in Pearl Harbor for incoming Indo-PACOM commander Admiral Phil Davidson. In recognition of the increasing connectivity of the Indian and the Pacific Oceans that run through the South China Sea, today we renamed the U.S. Pacific Command U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, Mattis said. And here you have him in his own words.
Our 2018 National Defense Strategy is the first of its kind in a decade, and it acknowledges the Pacific challenges and signals America's resolve and lasting commitment to the Indo-Pacific. Americans' vision is shared by most nations in the region. For every state, sovereignty is respected, no matter its size, and it's a region open to investment and free, fair, and reciprocal trade, not bound by any nation's predatory economics or threat of coercion. For the Indo-Pacific has many belts and many roads. America continues to invest vigorously in Indo-Pacific stability, bolstering the free and open rules-based international order that has enabled this region to grow and to thrive for over 70 years. While we are prepared to face any who would seek to challenge America's resolve, our national...
This is hilarious, right? This is aimed at if you're not paying attention, the Chinese, he's speaking directly to you.
Defense strategy is not a strategy of confrontation. Rather, it is a balance of idealism, pragmatism, and cooperation. We will continue to seek out opportunities for cooperation and open dialogue with our competitors when it aligns with our international interests and the interests of allies, partners, and stability. And we will always be seeking peace from a position of strength. We will also continue further strengthening existing alliances and fostering new partnerships in the region, for these form a fundamental cornerstone of our strategic vision, a shared vision respectful of all nations' sovereignty, and allowing us to reinforce a resilient security architecture capable of confronting shared threats, be they terrorism or an inhibition of free trade or humanitarian disasters that can befall any nation. Relationships with our Pacific and Indian Ocean allies and partners have proven critical to maintaining regional stability. We stand by our partners and support their sovereign decisions because all nations, large and small, are essential to the region if we're to sustain stability in ocean areas critical to global peace. Further, in
memo to China, he's talking about you. All nations, large and small, Vietnam, China, the Philippines, that would be you.
Recognition of the increasing connectivity, the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Today we rename the U.S. Pacific Command to U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. Over many decades, this command has repeatedly adapted to changing circumstance and today carries that legacy forward as America focuses west.
Boom! So, in the space of, a couple weeks, the Chinese disinvited from RIMPAC, which is this gigantic naval exercise in the Pacific with all of our partners, and we rename, and then he gives that speech. Lest there's any confusion, boys and girls, let me spell it out for you. That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Grant Newsham will join us here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the wonderful All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.